You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our words of wisdom are from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written,
"The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them,
"Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let's play a game. I'm going to say an organization's mission or purpose statement, and you try and guess what the organization is. Are you ready? Here we go. We enhance the dignity and quality of life of individuals and families by strengthening communities, eliminating barriers to opportunity, and helping people in need reach their full potential through learning and the power of work. Any guesses? That one's Goodwill. Here's another one. Our mission is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. That's Microsoft. To give customers the most compelling shopping experience possible. Nordstrom. Here's another one. Dedication to the highest quality of customer service delivered with a sense of warmth, friendliness, individual pride, and company spirit. It's one of my favorites, and that's Southwest Airlines. To organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful, Google. To refresh the world in mind, body, and spirit. To inspire moments of optimism and happiness through our brands and actions. That's the mission statement of Coca-Cola. All right, here's an easy one for you. To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That, of course, is the United Methodist Church's mission statement. A mission statement is an organization's why. It tells the world why an organization does what it does. The ultimate success of an organization is whether or not it's fulfilling its mission. It has to both know its why, and it has to actually live into its why. In our scripture passage for today, we learn about Jesus's why. In the story, we find Jesus returning home after spending 40 days in the desert. What was he doing in the desert? He was preparing for his ministry. He was praying and fasting, and he was resisting temptation. So Jesus returns home from this time of preparation and begins a preaching and teaching tour. He ends up at his hometown, and he's in his hometown synagogue, and there he unrolls the scroll and he reads from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He returns the scroll and proclaims, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In Luke's gospel, this is how Jesus kicks off his earthly ministry, by making a bold proclamation that he is indeed the Savior, and that he was the Savior that the prophets had promised. But by also going a step further, he proclaims what his mission is going to be about. In other words, Jesus states his why. His why is to bring good news to the poor, to release captives, to bring healing, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, a time when debts are forgiven, where there is restoration, abundance, and celebration. Throughout the rest of Luke's gospel, Jesus' words and actions center on his mission. He turns the social order upside down. He heals, he forgives, he brings restoration and new life. Simon Sinek is the author of a book titled Start With Why, and he has one of the most watched TED Talks that's called How Great Leaders Inspire Action. In his talk, Sinek argues that successful companies and organizations know what their why is, and that their why is the basis for everything that they do. It is at the core, and it inspires how they operate and communicate. He uses Apple as an example of how to lead with why. Now, how inspired would you be if you heard this message? We make great computers. They are beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. Want to buy one? That sounds fine. It describes an Apple computer. But does it tell you anything about their why? Sinek then suggests a pitch that leads with purpose. Everything we do, we believe in challenging the status quo. We believe in thinking differently. The way we challenge the status quo is by making our products beautifully designed, simple to use, and user-friendly. And we happen to make great computers. Want to buy one? In other words, this second pitch isn't trying to sell you a computer, but instead is asking you to buy into challenging the status quo and to think differently. Here, it's about buying into transformational purpose, and the product just happens to be the tool that's used to help us create change. Jesus had his why. Everything he did emanated from his mission. He didn't go around telling people to believe in God because it was the right thing to do or because he said so. He went around preaching and teaching life-altering change and transformation. In a world where people were just trying to simply get through the day, the week or the month or the year without getting sick, without going hungry, or without dying in war or violence, Jesus had a why that offered them something better. It offered hope. It offered a chance at new life. We know Jesus's why, but do you know what your why is? That one's a little trickier, isn't it? Another way to ask this is, what is God's call or purpose for our life? I tend to break this down into two buckets. First, there's the unique calling that each and every one of us have in our own lives. That might be being an astronaut, being an amazing parent, or an artist, or a postal worker, or the best insurance person that ever walked the face of the earth. Now, last summer, ESPN had this documentary series that's very popular. It's called 30 for 30. And last summer, they aired an episode about two rivals that are the best in their sport. The first man is from Japan, and his name is Takaru Kobayashi. And for a long time, he was the very best at what he did. No one else in the world could come close to the records he set. The second man, Joey Chestnut, is an American who eventually broke Kobayashi's records and is now the best in his sport. What is that sport? You guessed it, competitive eating. That's right, Joey Chestnut and Takaru Kobayashi are two of the greatest eaters the world has ever seen. In just 10 minutes, each of them can eat over 70 hot dogs. So while I was watching this documentary about the two men, I had to ask myself, why? Why on earth would you want to do this? For the money? For the fame? Well, for these two men, they do it because they believe they were born to do it. They wake up in the morning, they go to sleep at night, thinking about how to be the best competitive eaters in the world. There's just one problem with this. Only one of them can be the best in the world. In fact, after Joey Chestnut began beating Kobayashi's records, Takaru had a major falling out with Major League Eating, the organization who put on the most popular and lucrative competitive eating contests. After coming to terms with his fall from the top, Kobayashi still competes in other eating contests, but he has begun to imagine new opportunities for himself. He has thought about starting his own competitive eating league, as well as coaching and mentoring up-and-comers. Discovering our own unique life's purpose is so hard to nail down because our lives change and the world is constantly changing around us. We get older and our priorities change and our experiences change us. And then what happens if we don't achieve the purpose that we thought we had set out to achieve? We either have to live with the anger and the disappointment, or we have to figure out healthy ways to cope and recalibrate our expectations. So now that I've crushed all of your dreams to become competitive eaters, let's take a look at a second understanding of why or of purpose. I believe that God has given us humans a common purpose, a common mission, a common why. And that common purpose is to love God and to love neighbor. This one sounds a little easier than becoming an astronaut or eating 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes. However, we know from experience that it's hard to pull off on a regular basis. So how do we get love of God and love of neighbor to emanate from the core of our being? How do we say, God, not my will, but yours? That's what being a disciple is all about, to be on that journey of love, to learn, to pray, to study, to serve, to forgive, to be forgiven. Being a disciple requires us to practice, to fail, to get up, to try again and again and again. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is hard work, yet it is work we do not do alone. Loving God and loving neighbor is something we do with God's help and as part of the body of Christ. It is only possible because we can do it together. I want to return to that game that we had at the beginning where I ask if you can match a mission statement to a particular organization or a company. Who do you think this statement belongs to? As followers of Jesus, we put love first. That's right. It's your church, the Fountains United Methodist Church. If a friend or neighbor asked you why you go to church, would your answer be connected to this mission statement? I think a lot of times when someone asks why we go to church, the answer is often, well, because I always have, or because we're supposed to, or because we have nice music. Those may indeed be great reasons. They're not wrong, but do they inspire others to come join us on a journey of discipleship? So think about it. Pray about it. Spend some time really focusing on your why. What is your why for going to church? What is your why for following Jesus? I don't think anyone sitting here today or watching at home is doing this out of obligation. I think every person is part of a community of faith because God has transformed your life in some way through this church. There's a story there. There's a story that changed your life and will change the lives of others if you were willing to tell it. So the next time someone asks you why you attend church, tell them about your friends. Tell them about the amazing music. Tell them about your incredible pastors and the best sermons you get to hear every week. But before that, try starting with why. I attend church because as followers of Jesus, we put love first. We also happen to have great music, great sermons, and great potlucks. We're going to be talking more in depth about the Fountain's mission statement through some work I'm going to be doing with your church and your church council and other leaders over the next few weeks and months. But it's important for all of us to start thinking about why we're here and how we might get others excited about the work God has called us to do as followers of Christ. So what's your why? Do you think about it when you wake up? Does it keep you up at night? Does everything you do in your life radiate from your why? You may not know it, and that's okay. But may you know that God has called us to follow Jesus, to love God, to love our neighbor. May we go out into the world with that love, centered in our hearts and in our lives, so that others may be inspired and transformed by that love as well. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.